once again, okay, you all are the best kept secret in the Clinton community. All right? You don't do anything, but you do everything. And we have some special guests this morning. Yeah. Okay. And Sandy, I'm going to let you do the introduction. Okay? Come on down. Yeah, you can come up through there.
Hello there again. We're so happy to have been invited back by Miss Sandy and our lovely friend Jake. Jasmine. And I think he said earlier, it's amazing. It is amazing, right? A glorious day. Can you say hi?
Say hi.
And tell him what your name is.
Jasmine.
Jasmine Carter Archer. Oh, one more thing that you've learned. How old are you, Jasmine?
23.
23 now. So I can't remember how many years we've been coming here. Sandy, do you remember? It's been like
maybe 5 years.
At least five times, I think, we've been here. My police officer husband promised me he was going to get out of bed this morning, but he didn't get home till 7. So once again, you only get the mom and the daughter. But we're very, very blessed to be able to stand here in front of you all and share a little bit about our journey with autism. Jasmine and Jake met when, how old was Jake?
God, I think about four. Four, five, something.
Well,
like that.
Yeah, it feels like it was at least a decade ago when we first began our nonprofit, Jasmine's Voice. Lovely young man, Jasmine, and he jumped in a hammock together. It was rather frightening for me because she was littler, you know, a lot littler, and now they're more similar in size, so it wouldn't have been quite so scary, but I was a little freaked out. Yeah, they both have come a long way. But we're still at our giving iPads to folks now in 18 counties in Michigan. I think it was 18 last year when we were here, who have autism and struggle with language, and they're able then to hopefully find their voice and be able to communicate and function in the world. We're well beyond the 700 mark, and 13 years in of doing this. I laugh about it because I'm 64, and by the time I hit 70, I'm out of here. I think I'll hand the torch to somebody else to do all that hard work. But
welcome to my club. Yeah. I'm going to be that.
But we do love what we do. And so, Jasmine, where are you going?
Yeah, she's good.
You heading out on me? Are you done? All right, thank you.
Okay.
She's done and moves like the wind. One of the things that we brought this year that's kind of cool, and Lynn told me I would be able to lay it down out in the area where you have your coffee. We were able to actually get a picture of our nonprofit on the front page of a Detroit Metro magazine for special needs living. And there's a 4-page article in there, lovely, with pictures of our kiddos and story about Jasmine. I'm going to leave it for you folks to read so you can learn a little bit more about us if you're interested. And again, if you know anyone who needs an iPad to help them to communicate, have them reach out to us. We're online, and it's pretty simple to do. Thank you.
Okay, folks, think about being generous. Okay. One of my young friends is 9 years old now. He's still nonverbal. Thank you for the iPad. I think we can do the order of worship now.
All right. Well, what a great way to start the morning. Thank you all for coming. We really appreciate it. We love when you visit us every year. And now, if you would all stand and please join me in the call to worship. Lord, we want
to start the day with
joy
unspeakable
and with blessing and praising
you.
You have given us such good hope and comfort.
Lift up our minds above all these little things below. Keep us from getting distracted. Keep us so that our hearts are fully focused on seeking you.
And please remain standing for our first hymn found on page 170, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And before you take a seat, please turn to one another and greet each other this morning with a smile and a handshake. You know, I'm beginning to think it's not Pastor that gets us out of here at 12:15. It's the 15 minutes of fellowship we do in church.
Thank you for being so generous. It's still a preacher that's dawdling around. Now, if I had seriously had my act together, I would have invited you to bring your seeds for your spring planting to be blessed this morning, because this is Rogation Sunday. They were? Okay. I'm trying to not completely lose what it means to be tied to the land, rural. One of the things that historically Methodism has done is that it's invited people in the congregation, in the community, to have seeds blessed before they're planted. Okay. And that's one of the reasons why the prayer for Rogation Sunday says some of the things that it does. We need to remember our people that are working in the fields. Okay, there's two very dangerous times for a farmer: planting and especially harvest. So let's keep them in our prayers. We have folk that are experiencing some health issues. Please don't make excuses, okay, to not call the doctor if you're showing gastrointestinal issues or respiratory issues. There's two things that are going around, and they are particularly nasty. Okay? They're not COVID, but either one of them can dehydrate you and or had one young friend in particular that was so sick she didn't eat for 10 days. And that was because of the cough. Okay. So consider yourselves parented. All right. Please. Are there those we should remember this morning and this week in our prayers? Yes. Yes.
I'm not sure I want to refer to it as
okay. That's fair. Yeah. Mandisa family. Thank you. I just got added, but thank you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's remember each other. Okay. Be prayerful through the week. Next Sunday is the church has left the building. We'll be hearing a little bit more about that later. Okay. Let's keep each other in prayer in regard to that. Let's bow together in prayer, shall we? Our blessed Jesus, simply thank you. Thank you for coming to be like us, with us, for us. We still haven't figured out all the meanings of your presence. We just know that where you are, things start changing for the better. There's so many of us that are going through so much these days. Some of it's just nuisance. Some of it's life-changing. Some of it we can wrap our heads around a little bit. Most of it, Lord, it's just beyond our understanding. We know that somehow, some way, you will work all things together for good. We know somehow, some way, you will work all things together for the glory of the kingdom of God. It is for that kingdom we pray each time we join our voices together in the words you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Could we take a moment to listen to God in silence, for God will speak in turn during prayer. Amen.
And if you would, please join me for a prayer for Rogation Sunday. Let us pray for God's blessing on the fruits of the earth and the labors of his children.
The eyes of all creatures look unto you, O Lord,
and you give them their food in due season. Our Creator, you have blessed the earth. You want it to be fruitful, and you want it to give richly whatever is needed for your children. Bless the work of the farmer and all who work the soil. Grant such good weather that we may gather in the fruits of the earth. Then we will rejoice in your goodness and praise you. O God, the work of the soil is hard and sometimes dangerous. It wins our bread through the sweat of the brow. Protect those who till and plant and harvest. Keep them from accidents and danger. Spare them the burden of pain and sorrow. Let them see the fruit of their labor. Let them fully enjoy a rich reward for the work that they have done. Amen. And if you would, please stand for the Gloria.
Now, before you're seated, what's the anthem going to be? Russell Pages. 462. Diane, do we need to continue to stand? Okay. 462. So sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I praise him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Would the children come, please? Whoa.
Tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
How you doing? Good? Yeah? The big people making you crazy? Good. Yeah? Okay. We got a couple of no's and a couple of yeses. That's pretty much normal, you know, because sometimes the big people drive us crazy and other times they don't. Now, did you notice that Jasmine was with us this morning? No? Jasmine and her mom and Miss Sandra. And Sandy, remind me of your son's name.
Jacob.
Forgive me. Okay. Now, it's important that we recognize something. And one of those things is each one of us is put together in a unique way. We're special. That doesn't mean that something's wrong with us. It just means that we're different. Sometimes, take me for example. I'm just like everybody else, right? I've got some heads showing. But we're all that way. And it's important to remember, okay, that we are all God's gift to each other. And we all bring special gifts. I have a special friend, okay? He can't talk. He's 9 years old, okay? His name happens to be Matthew. And since he was little, okay, he would look at the world so differently than I do, and he would see things that I didn't see. He and I were watching snow fall one day, and Matthew was seeing all kinds of things in the snow that I couldn't see. And I found myself wishing I could see everything that Matthew could see. We'll meet people, okay, that they see the world differently. Okay. They deal with the world differently than we do. It's important that we care for them. It's important that we care for them. Okay. Jesus cares for us, wants us to care for each other, even when we're not all the same. Let's pray. Blessed Jesus, thank you. You're wonderful. You've made each of us special in so many ways. Help us, O Lord, to see how special we are. Help us to see how special each of us is. And help us to love each other more and more like you love us. Hear our prayer. Amen. Thank you for coming. And I think we have some goodies. Just a minute. My apologies. You can sit down. It is a time for giving. Okay. And I am pleased to say that Robin is going to give herself to this congregation. She's going to become a member this morning. If you would, the church membership covenant, and Robin, if you would. This way? Okay, no worries. Do you want your whole name used or just Robin?
Just Robin.
Okay. I'm pleased to be able to do this, folks. Okay. For very selfish reasons. Brothers and sisters in Christ, church membership is putting into action the sacrament of baptism by which we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. In accepting church membership and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. I present to you Robin, who comes to unite with the Clinton United Methodist Church. Robin, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful as a member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world?
I will.
As a member of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries?
I will.
As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?
I will.
Remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit work within you. Having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, members of the household of faith, don't just sit there. You can stand now. Come on. I commend Robin to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. And the congregation responds, thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation, the Clinton United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and may you live in grace and peace. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all. Now, while you were up, okay, the guys all got all the cash out of your wallets, right? Amen. Our Lord, we thank you for all the hints of spring. We thank you for an 80-degree day. We thank you for the gift of sunshine. And we even thank you for the gift of work. The work that comes with planting seeds and hoping for harvest. O Lord, from the harvest we've already gathered, we bring our gifts. We ask you to take them and use them for the glory of your kingdom. Hear our prayer. Amen. Now, y'all need to know this is a camp meeting song. Okay? So you're in camp meeting now.
What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning.
Amen. Beautifully sung. You may be seated. I will admit to struggling during that song. A pastor friend that I've never met face to face, okay, preached a woman's conference in Kenya. She's a pastor on the Tanzanian border in Kenya, and she sent a short video of the women singing hymns. Nobody was in the pew because everybody was dancing around the sanctuary. The scripture lesson for this morning is Luke 12. I'll be reading numerous verses this morning, starting at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Rabbi, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you've got plenty of stuff laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' However, God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I'm going to admit, okay, if you don't like this sermon, hi. I don't like it either. The first time that these verses really deeply and profoundly hit me, I was spending a Sunday afternoon, had preached two churches that morning. Okay. And was spending the afternoon with my brother-in-law and his family. And he came with his luxury car. And we went to an estate sale. And I walked around the estate sale. And I started looking at the stuff on the tables and in the wagons. Okay. There were some beautiful porcelain dolls that told me that either the person or somebody in that person's family had been to Japan. Okay. There were other collectibles. There were lots of books. Okay. However, I told myself it was Sunday, so I wasn't going to buy anything. I try to not buy too much on Sunday. I may shop, but I try not to buy too much. And as I walked around, it hit me. I got probably 1,000 books. Whose then shall all these be? I got lots of music on compact discs. Okay? Everything from gospel music. Jacob, are you familiar with George Clinton at all? No, it's okay. You're safe. Okay? I got some 400 discs. Whose then will all these be? Okay. I got somewhere around 100 DVDs. Okay. Whose then will all these be? Okay. I've got a little medallion that I got at the Perth Mint, Perth, Australia, celebrating my wife and I's 20th anniversary. We made around the world cruise on our 20th anniversary. Okay. Whose then will this be? Wow. A hug and a prayer, girl.
Thank you.
It's a special love. Somebody hey. Would take that in your family.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
There, and you know, it's... We've had conversations even about church. You know that there's gorgeous stuff here from this church's past? Okay. Whose then shall all... this be? Okay. And then I went to the verses that I read, and I had to deal with them on a personal level. Okay. If you don't get anything else, I hope you get this. Followers of Jesus need to think about stuff the way Jesus did. Its only value is what it does for the kingdom of God. And the way John Wesley put it was, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. Being a Christian is simple, but it's not easy. It's simple. It's all about Jesus. It's not easy. Jesus is about everything we think and feel and do. We forget what it means that Jesus is God's Son. We forget that when we look at Jesus, we look at God. We are like the Apostle Philip. Remember, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That's all we need. And I think Jesus must have been exasperated. Because Jesus replied, Philip, have I been with you for such a long time? Don't you know who I am? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How can you ask me to show you the Father? That's from John chapter 14. We forget that Jesus is God entering into everything it is to be human. We don't spend much time obeying Jesus, who said, I'm giving you a new commandment to love one another. Okay? And this wasn't your general, oh, I love you. Thank you. This was, hey, get past yourself. Do what it takes to give that person you're in the presence of a taste of the kingdom of God. We are to be like Jesus. We're to love God and love one another. Most of us don't know that Methodism came into being as a revival movement. John and Charles Wesley felt love of God, felt moved by God. They told people they could experience God's love. They taught people to live holy and perfect. That means mature lives. Now, we don't talk about holiness much anymore. That's mainly because holiness got lost in legalism and thou shalt not. Don't do this, don't do that. As I've told you before, you know, when I was growing up, if you're a teenager and you're a guy, you don't sit closer than 6 inches to a female teenager in the pew. And the ushers would check. We need to study holiness. We will come to know that holiness is about getting beyond ourselves. It's about God being first in our lives. It's about humility. It's about honesty. It's about being aware of what we do. It's about seeing the consequences for ourselves and others. Any of you shoot pool? Oh, nobody's going to admit it. Okay. What happens when you break? Okay. You do one thing. You hit the cue ball. What happens as a result of that one thing? Okay. Amongst other things, holiness means that we don't get decadent. That means we don't get too self-indulgent. Holiness means we put what God wants before what we want. You know the hardest question for a human being to answer? I'm going to pick on you.
Looks like it.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? What do you really want, Leslie? Did I make my point?
Yeah, you made your point.
Okay. Martha? No. What do you really want, Martha? I want the preacher to leave me alone. Holiness means we keep our lives as simple as we are able. We don't let things get so complicated that we can't do what God wants when God wants. Holiness means that we get to be like Samuel. We need to be ever ready to say to God, I'm listening, Lord. What do you want me to do? Holiness means that we know and live some things. If we want to be first in the kingdom of God, we have to put ourselves last here. What God gives us is meant to be passed on to others. God has more than enough of everything for everyone. What would it mean to take that seriously? You got the answer to that one, let me know. My wife has given me some amazing gifts. She's also given me some troublesome gifts. One of them is, she looked me in the eyes and she said, I wish that you could see yourself the way I think God sees you. Holiness means that we aren't about storing up what God gives us here. It's about using God's blessings as seed. The seed is to be planted to grow. Then it can bear fruit for more blessings. Not just blessings for ourselves, but for everyone around us. Rich, you and I have had the conversation about treated seed. Okay. You know when corn is meant for planting. Okay. I don't know what the color is now, but it used to be blue. Is it still blue? Okay. And I can remember going into a trustees meeting at a church I served. And I put a handful of blue corn on the table. And I said, okay, are we going to plant this year? What can you be guaranteed if you don't plant? You won't get anything. No harvest. Holiness means we need to look at ourselves from God's point of view, not just what we think, but how we think. Not just what we feel, but our process of feeling. Not just what we do, but the step-by-step of how we act. The question of holiness has next to nothing to do with thou shalt not. It has to do with whether we are self-centered or God-centered. Holiness is all about how much room we make in our lives for God. Now, this parable about a farmer that's blessed, everything went right for this guy. Things went so well that he had more harvest than he knew what to do with it all. Okay? Like the year that we had a bumper crop of zucchini. He had more than he could store. He had more than he could give away. But the guy came to a moment of decision. What should I do with all this surplus? Nowhere in this parable is there a hint that there's something wrong with being rich, with being blessed. It's not there. Nowhere is there a hint that this is dishonest gain. The problem is this guy doesn't look at himself from God's point of view. The guy doesn't even think about God. All he thinks about is himself, and he's ready to let the good times roll. The one the guy didn't even think about shows up. God arrives. This guy thought he was so smart about what he was going to do. The Greek word translated foolish from the ancient Greek literally means stupid. That's why the title of the sermon. It literally means without a brain. So God says, hey, stupid, did you ever get it wrong? You have no tomorrow. Now, there's subtlety here that our English doesn't capture. God says to this guy, I gave you the breath of life. I gave you the breath of life, now I want it back. We don't often think about it, but in Hebrew scripture, okay, the reason we live is because God breathes in and through us. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. However, God not only exhales, God inhales. Next, God says, you have all this stuff that you thought was so important, more important than me. Now, who's going to get it all? You can't take it with you. The basic reality is, if we're going to be with God, what would we want to take with us? What would we want to take with us? God's already got it all. God says to this guy, you have everything you thought would make you happy here. What are you going to do now that you're not here anymore? How are you going to be happy forever? At the end of the parable, Jesus makes it clear that the parable isn't just about having stuff. The parable is about self-centeredness versus God-centeredness. It's about what is most important to us. Is it ourselves or is it God? Is it about getting it all now or is it about having it all forever? You know, those of you that have more than a few years on you, remember when so many people had the bumper sticker, the one that dies with the most toys wins? Is it a question of holiness? How much room do we make for God? God doesn't want us to be poor. I've been poor. It's no fun. God has a special place in his heart for the poor because then they trust him. They trust him with everything. Remember the widow's mite. Those of you that know me know me pretty well. Know that I carry my last penny around my neck. Obviously, I'm not the widow. I still have my last penny. The more we have, the more we are tempted to trust God less. The more we have, the less we trust anyone but ourselves. It is our trust that God wants. Jesus says that God wants us to realize that we are rich because God is rich. We need to be anxious for nothing. Jesus tells us that God wants us to settle for nothing less than the whole kingdom of God. Holiness is how we get the kingdom. Are we self-centered or are we God-centered? Are our lives stuffed full with stuff or are our lives full of God's presence? I hate the question I'm ending this with. Are we being stupid? Or are we being holy? Amen? Thank you. Much appreciated that you're not throwing things at me. The truth we live by, the hymn 130. I think we're done.
Right there.
I know. I was too busy singing. I got lost. Well, I was too busy singing to keep track of me.
Please join me in our benediction. As we leave here, Lord, give us a little sun, a little happiness, and some work. Give us a heart to comfort those in pain. Give us the ability to be good, strong, wise, and free. Make us as generous with others as we are with ourselves. Finally, Lord, let us all live as your own one family. Amen.
Amen.
Rick has an announcement about Church Has Left the Building next week.
Yeah, Dottie was unable to be here because of Olivia's dance competition today, but she wanted me to pass along that she's finalizing everything for Church Has Left the Building. Just a reminder to sign up or text Dottie if you know you're planning to participate next Sunday, so we know what projects we can commit to. Looks like we have two, possibly three larger outdoor projects. Two smaller outdoor projects like spreading mulch. We have several indoor activities and projects around the outside of the church. If anyone knows of anything more, please reach out to her. Also, we'll be making Catherine Cobb bags again this year. If you have any items like snacks, toiletries, spiritual items, or would like to contribute, please bring them on Sunday. But please call her or text her with any questions you got and if you're going to participate.
Great. Are there any other announcements? All right. Well, have a great morning. Great Sunday. We'll see you guys next weekend.